Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. John Newton, the writer of these words, was born in 1724 in London, the son of a Puritan mother and a crusty sea captain father. John's mother died shortly before his 7th birthday, and by his 11th birthday, his father had him working on his ship. By the time John was an adult, he had turned into a pretty nasty human being and was a ruthless businessman. He was a master of a slave ship and a callous participant in the evils of slavery. One could even say that Newton was lost, lost in a life that was contrary to God's will. But our story doesn't end there. Newton was abandoned in West Africa by his shipmates and was basically imprisoned by the local slave trader until a friend of his father's came and rescued him. On the voyage home, the ship almost sank in a horrendous storm off the coast of Ireland. As John Newton prayed to God to spare them, the cargo miraculously shifted and filled a hole in the ship's hull. Newton took this as a sign from God. John, who once had been lost, was found by the life-changing grace of God. Claimed by God for a new purpose, his conversion led him to follow Christ by becoming an Anglican priest. As an eyewitness to the horrors of the slave trade, John also became a major influence in the fight to abolish slavery. Newton would go on to write 280 hymns, including our much beloved hymn titled Amazing Grace. The verse we sang a few minutes ago expressed not only the human struggle of being lost in the world, but also being found by the all-encompassing grace of God. The lost becoming found. A callous slave trader transformed into a priest and advocate. Even now, several hundred years later, we still see people searching because they're lost. They don't have a purpose. A number of years ago, there was a book that took the entire nation by storm and by surprise. You may even have read it. The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church in California became a bestseller not only in the religious circles, but across the entire country. And while we certainly don't agree with everything theologically in the book, we cannot argue with the raw nerve that it seemed to touch. People are craving for a sense of purpose and a deeper meaning to their life. Feeling a sense of lostness and aimlessness due to the lack of purpose, this book addressed a need that many people felt. No matter what one's success is or economic stature is, emptiness and lack of purpose can haunt the busiest of souls. The cry of the heart is often a cry for meaning. Our second reading, the first two chapters of Luke chapter 15, set the stage for the parables and the stories Jesus is about to tell in the coming chapters. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Tax collectors and sinners, outsiders you may call them, folks on the fringe of society needing a sense of belonging and meaning, all drawing close to listen to the words that Jesus spoke. As we read the brief opening of chapter 15, we picture a crowd hungry for God, thirsty for the words that would satisfy the longing within them. Little do they realize that the longing that stirs within them is for God's healing grace. Jesus' life, his mission, and his ministry clearly modeled a heart full of compassion for those who are lost. And sometimes the ones perceived as outsiders are really the ones that Jesus lets in. Michael Iaconelli expresses this powerfully in his book, Messy Spirituality, God's Annoying Love for Imperfect People. Iaconelli recounts the actions of a group of soldiers and the one old priest in the rural countryside of France during the World War II. During an intense battle, one of the American soldiers was killed. His comrades did not want to leave his body on the battlefield and decided to give him a Christian burial. They remembered a church a few miles behind the front lines, whose grounds included a small cemetery surrounded by a white fence. After receiving permission to take their friend's body to the cemetery, they set out for the church, arriving just before sunset. A priest, his bent over back and frail body betraying his many years, responded to their knocking. His face, deeply wrinkled and tan, was the home to fierce eyes that flashed wisdom and passion. "Our friend was killed in battle," they blurted out, "and we wanted to give him a church burial." Apparently the priest understood what they were asking, although he spoke very broken English. "I'm sorry," he said, "but we can only bury those of the same faith here." Weary after many months of war, the soldier simply turned to walk away. "But," the old priest called after them, "you can bury him outside the fence." Cynical and exhausted, the soldiers dug a grave and buried their friend just outside the white fence. They finished after nightfall. The next morning, the entire unit was ordered to move on, and the group raced back to the little church for one final goodbye to their friend. When they arrived, they couldn't find the gravesite. Tired and confused, they knocked on the door of the church. They asked the old priest if he knew where they had buried their friend. "It was dark last night, and we were exhausted. We must have been disoriented." A smile flashed across the old priest's face. "After you left last night, I could not sleep. So I went outside early this morning, and I moved the fence." Iaconelli goes on to write, "Jesus did more than move the fence. He tore it down. No wonder he made the scribes and the Pharisees nervous. Fence makers do not like their fences torn down." In some ways, we're all outsiders. We're all outsiders, lost, drifting, looking for a life filled with purpose. And then Jesus demonstrates his annoying love by extending God's grace to the outsiders, to the like of the John Newtons of the world, to old priests and exhausted soldiers, to you, to me. The purpose of Jesus' earthly ministry was to usher in the kingdom of God, to seek and to save that which was lost, to bring the outsiders in, to help the blind see, to save us all from the wretchedness of a life lived apart from God. Jesus moves fences. Jesus breaks down walls. Jesus' life and ministry excluded no one. And as we learn from the second reading, he is not too concerned with the company that he keeps. All are welcome to be found, found because of God's amazing grace. Indeed, Jesus moves the fence as often as it needs to be moved. And with the assurance of being included, we find new energy and purpose, saved by grace and created to love. That is what living Lent with purpose is all about. The saving action of God's amazing grace inspired John Newton to become a priest, to fight slavery, and to write the words to the hymn aptly titled, Amazing Grace. It is estimated that this hymn is performed 10 million times a year. It has appeared on over 11,000 albums. During the Vietnam War, the version sung by Judy Collins spent 67 weeks on the charts, peaking at the number 5 spot. It was also hugely popular during the Civil War. In times of great crisis, the lost look to Amazing Grace for comfort. They look to His Amazing Grace, His with a capital H. The song, as beautiful as it is still just a means of hearing of God's grace and promise. The real beauty lies in God's message of forgiveness, of hope, and salvation brought to us through His Son, Jesus Christ.